Brandela.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Do you have some questions tonight?
Oh, I have one question.
Well, let's wait a couple of minutes till somebody else comes, and if not, I'll ask you for it now.
So okay.
Give it a couple of minutes.
Okay, that'd be good.
Okay, Brandy, what's your question?
My question is, what does Kabbalah say about when you get sick? Does that mean that you're out of balance?
Yes.
What do you do to get back in balance?
Stand on your head.
Well, I've tried that, but it just don't work.
Well, just for the recording, I was joking.
I know you were. That's why I said what I said.
We both have warped sense of humor. That's all there is to it.
Oh, well.
How do you get
like,
back
like
into balance?
Teacher and student get to be alike as they get through time.
That's true. That's very true. So, how do you get back to balance is the question.
Right.
And the type of illness that you have, the location within the body that you have, is telling you where you have gone out of balance. So if you know which sephirah, which part of the body you're out of balance, then you know what you have to do to do what action to do teshuvah for, and to remember you don't need to do that action again, and it's a whole process of teshuvah essentially.
So if you have a problem like with your breathing in your chest, okay. I'm sick again, but it happened within. I went to bed okay last night, and I woke up this morning sick.
What did you do yesterday?
Basically, just go to work and come back home.
So there was no study. Did you participate in the slichot in the morning?
Yes. I did that.
So essentially what happened is that the Bet Din that night was saying you needed to be sick again to ask the questions about balance. Now look at the rest of your actions that day, or the rest of your actions within the last week.
Okay.
Were you studying while you were having difficulty breathing?
Yes.
Were you? Normally you attend roughly half of the deep Zohar classes.
Right.
And a little less than that for the 10 o'clock classes.
Right.
You always attend on the Sunday morning class and sometimes
right.
in the afternoon.
Okay.
But while you've been sick the last 2-3 weeks, you've been attending less than that.
Right.
But
I agree.
But we're in a period of Elul. And in a period of Elul, you need to increase your study. One of
okay.
the things we spoke about is to scan the whole Tikkuni Zohar, to make the effort during the month, during the 30 days, to scan the whole Tikkuni Zohar. There are 70 Tikkunim. We haven't even finished the 18th. It's just, I'm not criticizing you, Brandy. You asked the question, what's taking you out of balance? Having problems with your breathing is problems with your nose. Problems with your nose is because your nose represents Zeron Pin. It represents that first spiritual level. It's clearly about balance, and balance comes from distance. A lack of balance comes from distance from the Torah. And when you reduce your Torah study at a time when you're supposed to increase it, you go out of balance.
That makes sense.
It's always simple. It's never easy.
Right.
Malka, I believe you just came on, and the question was, how do you get back into balance? If you get sick and that's an indication you're out of balance, how do you get back into balance? And the answer is, you have to look at the part of the body that's involved with the illness, and you have to look at your actions, and it varies from person to person. For myself, and I just use this as an example, not to be, you know, not to invest my ego, but it helps to understand differences in levels. For myself, when I become ill, God forbid, I look in the last day or two, and my actions that day tell me why I got sick. Other people, it can be actions from 3-4 months ago. In Brandy's case, it's actions in the last week to 10 days. So it's always relative to the soul involved, and you're getting the message if you would just open your eyes to learn from it. And when you don't know for yourself, that's why I'm here to answer questions like Brandy posed. And now that I've welcomed you so well and so closely, do you have any questions?
Well, I just, yeah, I guess. It seems like when I go places and everyone says or asks the question, are you a teacher? Do you teach? I'm like, no, I'm not a teacher. Seems like every time, about a couple times a week, it'd be in the grocery store, it'd be in a restaurant, it'd be wherever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why am I getting that all the time? I've never been a teacher. Other than my children.
True.
Is that true?
And that's why I said that's not true. You've taught your children. And you
right.
teach people work. When the few times we've talked about the work you do, you teach people
right.
at work. So you've been a teacher
right.
in many aspects of your life. And those questions from people are messages for you. So are they coming up to you and saying, are you a teacher out of the blue? No. They're coming up to you and talking to you about something, and you're making sense to them. They're responding to it, and Hashem is sending them as a messenger to you, as an angel to you, saying, when are you going to start thinking on a different level? So when they ask you questions, do you share the answers that you think, or do you withhold the answer?
Well, I really don't say anything. I mean, I walk in, and it'd be like I place my order, or I'm at a register or whatever, and I'm really not saying anything. And they're saying, are you a teacher? And I'm like, no, I'm not a teacher. No, I get that all the time. Like, and I don't have to say a word.
So the answer that you should be giving, that I would recommend you give, is, no, I'm not a teacher, I'm a student, but perhaps I can help you. What is your question?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to learn?
Okay.
Isn't that pretty much the answers that I give to you, or I gave to you in the past?
Right.
I'm not a teacher, I'm a student. But what is your question? Perhaps I can help you.
Okay.
These people are being sent to you as a messenger from Hashem to say you have information, you've learned, it's time to share it.
Okay.
And the other thing to look at, especially during the month of Elul, is why have you been hesitant to share the information?
Oh, I'm never hesitant if they ask a question. I mean, I'm always sharing the information that I have within me, and it doesn't have to be on this kind of basis.
No,
it could be
on many different subjects. I understand
right.
that.
Yeah, I do so, share all day long.
But if you were sharing, there would be no need for Hashem to send you this message.
I know.
So in what areas are you limiting your sharing that you shouldn't be? I know you don't know. I'm asking the question so that we can talk about how do you find out that answer. And that's a perfect question. That's a perfect question for a dream question.
Right. Okay.
Elul is the month of personal contemplation. What are you doing wrong? Ask your friends, the people who you work with, the people that you study with, the people that you know. Choose one or two or three and ask them, say that it's the time of year for personal reflection. What do you think I need to improve about myself? That's a great tool for everybody to use.
I'll have to bring a notebook with me. I'm sure there's many things. One big spiral notebook.
So only ask one person.
Well, girlfriend, don't feel like you're the only one. I'd have to have volumes of notebooks.
Actually, you won't, because what the purpose of the dream question and the purpose of the question to your people you know is the answers you will get are going to be coming from Hashem, who wants to assist you in that process And you're going to be directed into one or two or maybe three very specific areas that, as part of your personal tikkun, you have to change about yourself. But if you don't ask the question, you'll never get the answer. And
right.
Who is the best one to give you the answer is those who know you best.
Right.
Well, I'll ask my children last. I'll ask
Amen to that.
Who are you asking?
Huh?
I didn't hear who you were. Who are you going to ask?
I said, I'm going to ask my children last. I'll ask everybody else, and I leave my children for the last.
Right. They're the ones who are going to teach you the best.
Oh, maybe so.
I spent an hour and a half today with a student of mine who needed to speak with her mother. Those conversations that people have with their parents, you know. And she felt she needed a mediator, and it turned out she didn't. She was able to express herself, and her mother was able to express herself back. And there was a lot of healing going on. It wasn't overnight, and it will still continue, the healing. But this is the time when it happens. So why would you be afraid to ask your children?
Oh, I'm not afraid.
So why would you ask them last?
Maybe because I know what they're going to say. I could probably answer those questions myself.
What do you think they're going to say?
Oh, goodness. Mom, you're old fashioned. Mom, you're old fashioned.
I didn't hear the word.
They'll say, Mom, you're just old fashioned. You got to keep
you're
up with the time.
Do you think you're old fashioned?
No.
So what would you answer back?
I would say, no, I'm not old-fashioned. I'm just concerned and want you to be the best you can be.
And would if they came back to you and said, but Mom, you're not being the best you can be.
Okay. Then I'd say, okay, tell me. What areas do I need to look at?
Exactly. Because the person that you asked this question, what areas do I need to improve? It's an uncomfortable question to ask someone. And they're going to answer with things like you're old-fashioned, things that aren't meaningful. But it's an opening to delve deeper into your relationship, to see yourself through their eyes. Not that you're old-fashioned, but what is the role of a mother to her children at this point in their lives? You've heard the adage, you know, you always have children. They're never not your children. No matter if they're 100 years old, they're still your children. So what is your role as a mother to your children at this point? Some people find them to be their best friends. Some people find that they have no affinity with their daughters or sons. They love them, but the children have moved on in their own lives, and that's where they want to be. But how does that make you feel? All of these are hints to you as to what you have to change about yourself. Because what is perfection? Not that we're going to become perfect this year, this day, but how do we perceive perfection? And how do your children perceive perfection? And you learn something from that process of interacting on that level, because it's a deeper level than you normally do. And that's the purpose of asking the question, what do I need to improve? And it's uncomfortable to hear that question. Imagine your husband coming to you and asking that question. How would you answer it? How comfortable would you be? More than likely, what you would say is, why are you asking me this question? What did you do that you feel guilty? I'm being facetious. I'm making a joke. But maybe it's not a joke, because there's a lot of marriages that's probably a true perception.
Right.
Now, you didn't think you were going to get such a heavy conversation, did you?
No, I didn't.
But this is what the month of Elul is all about. It's looking within. It's self-evaluation. And you cannot see yourself. You need feedback from your mirrors. Otherwise, we waste our time. Because every morning when you wake up, you don't think you need to change because you're too busy running off to work or whatever else is going on in your life that moment. You don't spend the time to look into yourself. Now, some do. Some who meditate, they do. The TM, Transcendental Meditations, they teach you should go into a meditation, you know, calm your breathing, meditate, focus on one subject for 15 minutes. When I ask them why are they doing it, they said it's because it brings them to balance. And then I said, so how long does it last? Balance lasts as long as you are changing. That is you contemplate that statement, you're going to find a paradox. Because balance is a state of serenity, a state of non-movement. But you remain in balance only as long as you're changing. You have to contemplate that paradox. Why is it that you're in balance when you're changing? And by the way, I'm not talking about changing clothes. I'm talking about changing character traits. That was another joke.
Do you think that because you keep changing and you're not on the same level or in the same spot all the time, that you're balanced because the unbalanced can't catch up with the constant change?
That's very nice. It's a nice thought. And it has some validity as well. I would answer, you're in balance when you're changing Because as long as you're changing, you're moving towards your completion of your tikkun. And as long as you're moving towards the completion of your tikkun, there's no need for you to have a wake-up call called being out of balance.
I like that.
Any other questions? You both have a beautiful evening. And we'll have we'll have slichot in the morning.
Okay.
Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Shalom.